Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've done it with. God still loves you. And that's what the parable, this whole parable is about in Luke chapter 15. Now in the video you saw the father running to the son who had come home with a repentant spirit. And I want to tell you, I was that prodigal son. That's the message I was saved under. And you may be a prodigal today here as well. But I want to say everything. I want to preface everything that we're saying this morning. God loves you with an unconditional love. Isn't that fantastic? Isn't that fantastic? And so the father received the son last week and threw a party. Because that which was lost has now been found. His son who was dead is now alive. And so the father said, man, let's celebrate. He killed the fatted calf. He put a robe on his son and put the family favor, the ring back on, and put sandals on his feet. And they began to make merry and have a party. And he invited all the even though the younger son had disgraced the father, the family, and the entire village. And they began to celebrate. Well, in the midst of this, the elder brother's been down in the field. And we're just going to kind of move through this passage this morning. We're in Luke 15. The parable almost seems kind of anticlimactic. It kind of ends on a sour note, but this is really the point that Jesus wanted to get to. Isn't Jesus the master storyteller? And look back with me. Well, you remember way back in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2 and 3. In verse 2, Jesus, the scripture says, and the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them. And so I think this is the section of the story, the parable that Jesus really wanted to get to, because the Pharisees had this elder brother spirit. They had this self-righteous, looking down your nose, condemning, fault-finding spirit and about them. And you know, we've still got that elder brother spirit in the church today. Hello? I can't tell you how many cold water committees I've run into in the church. Somebody will catch fire and there'll be a fabulous service or take up a big offering or there'll be a tremendous homecoming or revival meetings or some people will start getting saved and you'll have baptisms and invariably some elder brother will walk up and say something negative, something sour. And so this message is really more for the church today than it is for lost folks. Although I believe this elder brother could very well have been lost. That's why I've entitled the message, The Lost Brother. So let's take a look at it. The elder brother hears the news and he's disturbed. The elder brother's disturbance. Look at verse 25 of Luke 15. Now this older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come. And because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. It's come to the close of the day. I want y'all to try to put this picture in your mind. The elder son has been down in the field working. It's the end of the day. He's hot, he's tired, he's dirty, he's nasty, he's hungry. And he's got plans to come home and get cleaned up and sit down and eat some supper, prop his feet up, and watch Monday night football. I thought that'd be a good FCA thing, you know. And as he's coming up the hill there into the yard, he hears all this music and people laughing. He knows there's a party going on, and he sees one of the servants out in the yard and calls the servant up to him and says, "What in the world's going on? I hear the party. What's the celebration about?" And the servant must have said something like, "You don't know? Man, your young brother has come home with a repentant spirit, and your dad has received him with open arms and throwing a party for him because he's back home. He's where he should be." And immediately, the elder brother is disturbed. Now, he should have been excited just like everybody else, right? I mean, he should have been thrilled that his younger brother, who had been out away from the family and away from the father and away from all of those folks who could provide for him and protect him, had now come home. But the elder brother's, he's not happy about it. He's not disturbed. You know, it wasn't long before I was in the ministry that I began to figure out not everybody's tickled to death when somebody gets saved. Not everybody gets happy when there's a lot of baptisms taking place. I've had people tell me in former ministries in the church and walk up to me and say things like, "You know, our church is a lot different than it used to be." And of course, you know me, praise God, isn't that good? And I've had people tell me, "Well, you know, we've got a different class of people here now." I've had people say that. It tells me where their heart is. I even had a pastor brother tell me that he had some church members upset with him. And I said, "Why?" And I kid you not, this is what he said. "They're upset about the water bill." And I said, "Why are they upset about the water bill?" He said, "Because we've been baptizing so many people." That is the elder brother spirit. And it's still alive and still prevalent even in the church today. You would think everybody would be overjoyed of a lost sinner coming home to Christ. Amen? You would think that the, well, and so, and by the way, not once in this passage of Scripture does the elder brother refer to his younger brother as his brother. Not once, not one time does he call him his brother. And so he's unhappy. He's disturbed that this prodigal son has come home. But he's not only disturbed about the brother returning, he's even more disturbed by the response of his father. His father had thrown a party and he'd spared no expense. You see, y'all see what's going on? The elder son, the elder brother, he really doesn't have a clue about his father. He doesn't understand him. He doesn't get it. And there's folks in the church today like that. They don't get it. And I want to be sure everybody at Second Mile gets it. That you'd understand the Father and His heart and His love and His compassion for people. All that matters, brothers and sisters, in this life is our relationships. That's it. You're not going to take anything with you. The old saying, "Have you ever seen a hearse hauling a U-Haul?" That's true. Only thing you're going to take with you is the relationships that you built in Christ. That's it. So he's upset. He doesn't understand his father. He may read his Bible every day. He may attend church every time the doors are open, but he doesn't get it. That's the elder brother spirit. He doesn't understand the love and forgiveness of the Father. And then take a look at his disposition, okay? The elder brother's disposition. He's not only disturbed, but look at his disposition. Look at, where are we here? Verse 28. But he was angry and would not go in. Go in where? To the party. And by the way, some of y'all need to get in on the party. It's okay to have a good time. It is. Jesus believed in having a good time. The elder brother's sitting outside, stewing, pouting, just like a spoiled, rotten kid. Look at verse 28. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore, his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends." He's got a bad case of I, me, doesn't he? Yes. And verse 30 says, "But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." you know what really blessed me about this parable? Everybody in the parable is happy but the oldest son. Everybody. Everybody else is tickled to death. I mean, the shepherd, he was thrilled when he found that lost sheep. I mean, the village was happy about it. The woman and her friends, the father and his neighbors, the servants, everybody's happy but the elder son. He's swelled up, he's pouting, he's rotten, he's negative, he's spoiled. And you know, I want to tell you, the master storyteller, Jesus, just put yourself in this. I mean, he really wants to get, this is the point he's been wanting to get to in the parable, to speak to these Pharisees, this religious crowd that was in there that day. And don't you think that when Jesus told the story about the shepherd finding that lost sheep and throwing him over his shoulders and bringing him home, I'm sure there were some shepherds in the crowd that just went bananas. And then when he told the story about the woman finding her lost coin, don't you think there were some girls in the crowd that just began to throw up both hands and shout? And then when he told the story about how the lost son came home with a repentant spirit and how the father received him, I bet you there were some daddies out in the crowd smiling and shouting. Oh, hallelujah. But there was one group in the crowd that day that wasn't happy. And it was this self-righteous bunch of happy campers we call Pharisees. Instead of rejoicing, they had an angry disposition, just like this elder brother. Did y'all know it's possible? Now, this elder son hadn't left home. He was working every day for the father. But did you know it's possible to be working for the father and yet not be accomplishing the father's will? Do you know that? You can work for the father but have a wrong spirit about you. He said, "All these years I've been slaving for you and you never threw a party for me." You know, he's really not as good as he thinks he is he? And there's folks around us today like that. He had a bad disposition. Now, I miss this, y'all. You know how many times you read the Bible and you, "I never saw that before." Well, let me just show you what your pastor gleaned. Look way back at verse 12. "And the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he," the father, listen to this, "divided to" who? "Them," his livelihood. I just skipped over that before. But not only had the younger son received his inheritance, the elder son got his too. He'd gotten his inheritance. And it stayed there. And And everything in the Father's possession belonged to the elder son. And yet he's upset. His disposition isn't right. There's no love in his heart for his younger brother. There's no compassion and kindness in the fact that his younger brother, who'd been out in a lost world, is now home, safe, sound, and secure. No compassion. You know, the Pharisees were experts at picking out the sins of other people. Experts. And by the way, this elder brother spirit, this elder brother crowd, they don't ever win anybody to Christ. Oh, they'll go after some rich Baptist brothers in other churches, but they don't evangelize. I want to tell you something, folks. People need the Lord. And this elder brother, I believe, needed the Lord. But the Pharisees had a condemning, critical, judgmental dispositions. And don't you think the father was just as embarrassed by the action of the older son as he was about the younger son? I'm sure he was embarrassed. He had to leave the party and come out in the yard and deal with this elder brother. He had disgraced his father as well, hadn't he? But here's the point I wanted to get to. Look at verses 31 and 32. And he said to him, that's the father, he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours." Say, "Whoo-ee, mercy. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost and is found." Jesus so wanted those Pharisees there that day, the religious crowd, to understand how loving his heavenly Father is. He wanted them to come face to face with their attitude and their lifestyle. He wanted them to make a decision. Lean in. I've said all of that to say this. Watch this. Don't miss this. This is huge. Every time you hear the Word of God, there's a decision you have to make. Every time you hear the word preached, every time you hear the word taught, every time you read the word of God, there's a decision that has to be made. Will you be obedient? Will you say yes to what God's saying to you? Will you make a change? And I believe the Lord Jesus was just tore all to pieces about these religious leaders. He so desperately wanted them to give in and to get it and follow him so that they too could be fishers of men. And you know, when you think about that father out in the yard, it must have been hard to love that elder brother. But the father's so patient and he's so kind. And by the way, our Heavenly Father has your best interest at heart. He only wants what's best for all of you. He's working on our behalf. He really is. And he tells that son, "Everything I've got is yours. Everything. And it's fitting that we should throw this party." You want to know the test of a church's ministry? Here it is. Is the church seeing people saved? That's the test of a church's ministry. Because you see, lost things are on the heart of God. And if our hearts are on the same things that God's heart's on, you're going to see people saved and born again. What are we here for? To reach people for Christ. That's our mission statement. And then once that lost person is reached, we teach them how to follow Christ so that they can go and reach people for Christ. Second Mile Church, we need to get after it. We really do. I was so overjoyed the day we ordained Derek Simonis and those three new deacons. But you know what really did it for me that day? That baptism out back. When three people had been born again and saved. And by the way, that single mama that was saved and baptized, she was out there painting the walls of the church yesterday. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Let's start winning some people to Jesus, Second Mile. I was so encouraged. We've been teaching this Best News Evangelism class on Wednesday nights. And first Wednesday night, we had about 25, 26. I finished up with just about everything. We got one more meeting this Wednesday night. But we have these little Best News cards. And it has the Bible verses on it and tells you the bad news, the worst news, the good news, the best news, those four things. And I guess it was Thursday or maybe Friday, I got a call from Shan. He said, I just gave out my best news card to somebody. That's what it's about, y'all. That is what this is about. You say, well, Pastor, did the elder brother repent? Did he make a change? I don't know. Scripture doesn't tell us. I sure hope he did. Did he get right with his father? I hope he did. Did he go grab his young brother and say, man, welcome home? Oh, I hope he did. But the bigger issue is this. Will you get in on the joy of winning someone to Christ? Will you get in on the business that God's heart is on? Our hearts need to be on the things that are on our Father's heart. And that's seeing people come home, becoming all God wants them to be. Now, you remember what I said? When I ask you to lean in, every time you hear the Word of God, there's a decision that has to be made on our part. Am I going to do what God's telling me to do or not? Am I going to surrender and obey God to what He's telling me to do or not? Maybe my faith is a little misplaced, but I want to tell you, I believe in y'all. And I love you. And it's a joy to be your pastor. Now, I'm not everybody's pastor in the room. I get that. But I believe Second Mile still wants to make a difference. I've seen that in what we've been doing to get Kenwood rolling. But brothers and sisters, we need to get rolling again. We need to see lost folks coming home. Are we going to get in on the things that God wants us to get in on? Let's pray. Lord, I need to begin with me this morning. I ask your forgiveness for times of divine appointments that you laid out for me. Put people in my path. And I was so consumed with the things I was doing or so busy doing good things, but missed the best thing. I remember Jesus told his disciples, come and follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'll help you to catch men for my glory. Oh God, help us today. Help us, Father. Give us the love and the compassion and the kindness. It's not enough just to live a good life. We need to be verbal about why we're living the life we live. And We need to share our faith on a regular basis. Oh God, I know you would place people's names and faces on our hearts right now if we would be open to that, so that we might go and give them the hope that is within us. I know that I know that I know that you want to do more than what we're seeing happening here. He that winneth souls is wise, the scripture says. And if we'll sow in tears, we'll reap with joy. Father, if there's one or two or ten here today that has never been changed by the power of Almighty God, that if they don't get it, they don't understand the Father, that today would be the day of salvation. If you're here this morning and you're not absolutely sure about that, let me just share with you real quick how you can leave here born again, saved, and on the right path. If you'd be willing to admit to God, confess that you're a sinner, admit your need to Him. The Bible says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. That has to do with a yieldedness, a surrender to Him as Lord of your life. And believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. In other words, a dead Savior doesn't save anybody. If you'll call on Jesus today to forgive you of your sin and save you and surrender your heart to Him, my friend, God will receive you right here today, just like that father ran to his son. Father, the rest of us need to be like you and running after folks who need to be found. Help us this morning, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Andrew's going to lead us in an invitational response hymn. Let's all stand. You have business to do with the Lord. Here's an altar. If you prayed, you come.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.